Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to Q4 FY24 earnings conference call of Thermax Limited, hosted by DAM Capital Advisors Limited. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star, then zero on a touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Ms. Bhoomika Nair from DAM Capital Advisors. Thank you, and over to you, ma'am.
Thanks. Good morning, everyone, and a warm welcome to the Q4 FY24 earnings call of Thermax Limited. We have the management today being represented by Mr. Ashish Bhandari, Managing Director and CEO, and Mr. Rajendran Arunachalam, Group CFO and Executive Vice President. At this point, I'll hand over the floor to Mr. Bhandari for his initial remarks, post which we'll open up the floor for Q&A. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you very much, and a very warm welcome to everyone on the call. Given the history with so many of you, I would say we jump straight to Q&A because I understand there are more than 100 people on the call and would love to answer any opening remarks I may have or even otherwise through the questions that may come in. Yeah, so if that's all right, let's just jump straight into the questions.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask questions may press star and one on the touch-tone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking the question. Ladies and gentlemen, we'll wait for the moment while the question queue assembles. First question is from the line of Ankur Sharma from HDFC Life. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi, sir. Good morning. Thanks for your time, as always. So first question was on the orders. Clearly, what we're seeing this quarter and maybe also in the last quarter was a slight slowdown on the product business, and I think you mentioned some delays, some deferments of ordering happening. So is this more of an election-driven phenomenon, and therefore maybe post-elections we see a pickup happening, or is there something else to read into that? And similarly, I think you're a lot more positive on larger orders, right? So if you could help us, where do you see those coming, and are we also looking to participate in some of these utility-scale orders given there's been a dilution on the PQs? So yeah.
Okay. Good. And if I had to do a summary of the quarter, all three of these points would have hit that summary, so it's a very good question. Thank you for this. First, on the order book, I do think that the order book is a little soft than I would like, and relative to our internal plans, for the year as a whole, we missed our number. And we missed our number. Guys, there's quite a bit of background noise. I don't know if people can be on mute, yeah? Sorry. So on the orders front, we missed it, and we missed it entirely on the large orders side, where we would have expected more to happen in the year as a whole. Initially, we knew we were soft, but we expected that pipeline to build up through the year, which it built up, which means last quarter when I said that the pipeline for visibility to larger orders is better, that is indeed the case. Yeah? And I think to the point that even Q1 and Q2, I expect some amount of traction and connected with that improvement. Yeah? So how much of that improvement actually comes through? Because these are all competitive, and we don't know our win, loss, etc. I'm bullish, but remains to be seen as we go through these next two quarters, but the pipeline is better. In a couple of sectors, there is an election-related slowdown in elements of elections, and I would say a little bit also related with rains. Yeah? The whole sugar sector which is related to the ethanol industry, where we have had quite a few orders slow down out there because people are waiting on policy continuity and also on whether these projects will come through based on feed availability, which then depends on rains. Also in steel, I would say some amount of reticence in people going ahead with finalization of orders, yes, so which I also expect to improve in the coming weeks and months. Last question on utility side, supercritical and ultra supercritical projects. Yes, the norms have been diluted. We would like to participate, but it is still not completely clear. And certainly, our ability to take risks on a project of 10,000 crores, etc., is not there, nor is there an interest to do projects at that level. Yeah, it's not right by Thermax. And historically also, large projects have not been the place where we have often made reliable earnings. So we are okay to be conservative. If we can figure scoping the project in a way that areas that we play in are clearly spelled out, then we would love to play. Yes, from a manufacturing capacity point of view, from an overall capability point of view, we will be able to do everything needed. From how the contractual terms come about, that is work in progress.
Great, got that. And just the last one would be, given our order book is up about 4% this year, fair to assume that our top line growth next year would also be maybe in the mid to best case high single digits? Is that the right way to look at it?
I would say, look, there are scenarios and we are certainly playing for more bullish scenarios than that, because some amount of green utilities where we don't take repeated orders, where we take only the first year's worth of orders, you will see a bit of an upside. And then if we start off fast enough, then I do think our convertibility through the year will also be better. Yeah, so there are scenarios that we are playing in, but a lot of that depends on how we start in Q1 and Q2. Okay, thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Mohit Kumar from ICICI Securities. Please go ahead.
Yes. Good morning, sir. And thanks for the opportunity. My first question again on thermal power, sir. Has the norms been diluted or is it only a recommendation as of now? And has there been a tender which is floated where the package has been split? And the last bit on this, is there any plan to form consortium and bid for the last thermal EPC?
So first, I think CEA can only make recommendations on the basis of which tenders can come out. Yeah? So far, no tenders have come out with the qualification that would allow Thermax to be qualified. That is the case. So we don't. But the recommendations of CEA are normally followed. We will see how that works out. Second, consortium is an option. The problem with consortium is twofold. One, you need consortium partners that are equally stable and capable, because no consortium will come without joint and several liabilities. And also consortium partners should be capable of being competitive on their individual scopes. So having a meeting of minds on consortium partners is important. I think my personal view is going that way will again dilute the scope. Breaking the contracts will make sure that the government gets the cheapest price and the best players who can supply this playing in their area of expertise.
Understood, sir. My second question is on the bio-CNG. So last year, I think we had a fair amount of success. How to see the opportunity from bio-CNG in this fiscal, and how is the initial progress on the projects which were allotted last year?
So it has, bio-CNG has three parts. And last quarter, when I had spoken with you, I had said we are getting closer and closer to the end goal in terms of stabilizing our plans. That is not the case because the first couple of projects that we did, which are all rice straw based, with rice straw as a feedstock, we have had more setbacks than I had expected 3 months ago, which is one big reason why we have taken quite a bit of hit in this last quarter.
I'm sorry to interrupt, sir. Your voice is breaking.
My voice is breaking.
Yes, sir.
Is it better now?
Yes, now it's better, sir.
Okay, and I'm seeing, hearing quite a bit of background noise also. I don't know if it's just me or others are hearing this as well. If I may repeat, then bio-CNG is one area where we have had to take losses in this last quarter to rectify things that we were not expecting. And I can share more details for competitive reasons. So we have invested quite heavily in improving the plants because we encountered problems that were not anticipated even 90 days ago. And this is particularly for rice straw based plants. And so we have been a little slower in taking new orders, expecting and waiting for our current plants to stabilize. I think this is an industry-wide phenomenon. We think we are confident that we should resolve this, but that is a matter of delivering it, and only then I would come back and say that is the case. If we are able to solve this, then even for this year, the project pipeline and the orders numbers can improve substantially in this area. But whether we take more orders or not, specifically on rice straw, depends on our ability to work through these challenges. And not working through these challenges, to successfully complete and commission these plants. Otherwise, there is demand on municipal solid waste and plasma, and we will take orders in those lines, but orders just for those may be fewer than what we have taken in this last year.
Understood, sir. Thank you and all the best, sir. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Parishit Kanwal from HDFC Securities. Please go ahead.
Hi Ashish, congratulations on a decent quarter, sir. My first question is on the new products which we had introduced and showcased in our last analyst meet. So if you can help us give some more color on the successes post that, especially on some of the products like Thermotron, FlexiSource, MVR, heat pumps. So if you can, even on the THVAC, so how's been the progress there? How's the order book shaping up? So because you have done huge investments, I think over the last 2-3 years on these products. So
okay. Let me take them one by one. Thermotron and FlexiSource and Waste-to-Energy continues to do reasonably well. And even in Q4, we had some successes. And in Q4, a couple of initial customers that we had have also been successfully converted with good feedback. Yeah, where we have got good operating performance. In this last quarter, we also delivered 100% rice straw firing and 100% master smoke firing for small and medium boiler applications as well. Some of this was part of the newer technologies that you had seen that was done well. Amazon also, the pipeline continues to develop. In this last quarter, we also introduced electric heaters here for industrial applications. So Amazon now has a brother, so to say, also in this space. The numbers are still small, but growing. Yeah, we're growing back from a very small base, but a good pipeline overall. Yeah.
Again, your voice is breaking. Should I disconnect
it? It's muffled. I mean, your voice is a bit muffled and not very clear.
Hello, is this better?
Yeah, now it's better, sir.
Okay. So I'll go back to think about and the flexi source and some of the difficult fuels. We have done well, and pipeline continues to be decent. On the MVR and everything relating to water, the pipeline has been very good and continues to build and grow. I think on the technology side, we want to continue to make more improvements out there. There is enough volume. My expectation on differentiating our capability competitively, that is where I continue to ask more and more from our team. Yeah, and many of the bio-CNG we spoke about both the challenges and the opportunities, and we continue to make progress. Even on the digital side, we've had considerable amount of progress with our Edge Life platform continuing to gain traction, and we are now expanding that platform to many of our other products, including water, where we will have big releases in this first quarter coming on the Edge Life side. So we continue to make progress. HVAC has not done as well as I would have liked. We are getting good responses, but when we had to work the truck application, which we thought could be a big breakthrough, the truck application has not had as much success because the truck cabinets with cabins, we have had leaks. It has had some issues because the truck cabin is not meant for air conditioning. So putting our systems out there in retrofitting has not given us the kind of jump that theoretically we thought we would get. So we are continuing to work on this from an engineering point of view, but in that sense, it's back on the THVAC front. On hydrogen, some cases we have made progress, and over a couple of quarters, you will hear more from us on the hydrogen front. I think any other products specifically, yeah, we also talked about gas upgradation. Gas upgradation continues to make good product progress. I would say overall on the industrial product side, whatever we have been trying and working on, those things have been holding and getting traction in the market and gaining strength.
Okay. And just the second question, sir, in the order book, so what is the carrying value of the old FGD and sulfur recovery orders which were at low margins and were impacted by the commodity prices and may continue to impact margins? If you can help us, what has been the share last year and how much has been brought down?
I think, Rajendran, can we share those numbers specifically?
Well, Ashish, we don't specifically share.
Okay.
I think segment-wise order balances are definitely available and shared.
Okay.
But we can give a general trend on because a good chunk of the FGD order will go into revenue this year. So giving some sense of will help.
Yeah,
no?
This year we should be estimating about 600 crores of FGD revenues.
And sulfur recovery, the large order we have?
Sorry?
NRL.
NRL, I don't have a number here. I'll check on
that. Even NRL will have a fair bit of revenue pull through this year.
Okay. And just the last one, questions around this. In the last analyst meet, we had said that we are very conservative while we have been expensing our R&D investments, and that's been impacting the margins. And we were thinking of taking a review on that and see what can be expensed and what can be carried forward. So if you can give some more color on the R&D.
There's been no change on that. In areas like bio-CNG and all, so far we have continued to take expenses. We have not looked to capitalize anything out there. So I don't think there's any change in approach. I think this year, should we make any big investments on the hydrogen side, then we can recover and relook at this question, but so far there is no change.
And any number on the R&D investments in or expense in FY24 and FY22?
I don't think we have looked to differentiate. Okay. I haven't looked to differentiate it all. Yeah. Thanks.
Okay, sir. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Amit Anwani from Prabhudas.
Sorry, one last thing. On heat pumps also and the ADCT, CLCTs, both on the cooling side. Again, the numbers are slow, but the uptake has been good, especially on heat pumps. We have had numerous customers with some very, very interesting studies, and we want to push that very, very hard further in the coming year and quarters. Yeah, sorry. Go back to the question.
The next question is from the line of Amit Anwani from Prabhudas Lilladher Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, so thanks for taking my question. My first question is on the...
Sorry to interrupt, sir. Can you speak a little louder?
Yeah. Am I better? Is it audible?
Yeah, better. Sure.
Yeah. So my first question is on the order inquiry pipeline, sir. I can see in the PPT also you have been highlighting multiple times that there is uptrend in biofuel related orders. So just wanted to understand how and which areas in biofuel are we expecting the inquiry building up. And second, I wanted to understand some sense on the QOQ YOY inquiry growth in the key sectors which you have highlighted, where the inquiry still is gaining momentum, including steel, cement, distillery, etc. Yeah.
Okay. So let me take first on the biofuel side. I thought I addressed that question already in a previous look. The inquiry pipeline is very large and quite big. The question is the risk that is involved in some of these projects and making sure that technically we have retired all the risks as we look to expand. So the current focus is on commissioning, especially on rice straw, which is the most challenging fuel, a plan that we deliver. And once we deliver, then we can look at future growth. There are other aspects of ethanol and 1G, 2G ethanol-related projects, 1G in particular, where a lot of Thermax's products go relating to heating, relating to water, etc., even small projects that we do in this space. There the pipeline is good and many handshakes have happened, but once the elections and kind of there's a good sense that the monsoons will be reasonable as is expected, I do think many of those customers will go forward with advances and then we can book those orders. So that's on the first part of your questions. On order inquiry and pipeline, see, we don't share those because it is not the magnitude of the order inquiry which is important. It is the quality of the order inquiry. So sharing an absolute number which we track internally doesn't always give the best picture. That said, what I would say is Q3 and Q4, the uptick in large orders, inquiries that are good and reasonable, and these are things that we have been working on for some time but are now getting to what feels like is conclusion stage, I would say is good and reasonable. Our ability to win these projects now, that remains to be seen, but overall I would say I'm looking forward to at least getting some big orders back showing up for Q1 and Q2, because it's been quite some time that that we really haven't had large product orders coming in from large projects. Yeah, and even on the international side, our pipeline as we enter this year is better than what it has been the last couple of years.
Sure, sir. Second, wanted to understand on the margin profile, you did alluded that will be bidding for the utility scale since the norms are diluted. And we have seen in the past FGD orders dragging down the margins. Mm-hmm. So just wanted to understand whatever is ahead of us, what is the sense on the margins overall? Yeah.
Look, the kinds of things you're talking about on the utility side, they're long cycles. Yeah, they're not going to affect our margins for this year. They will affect our margins should those opportunities become available, and should Thermax win those, they'll affect our margins for the next 5 years, 10 years maybe. They won't affect this year because this is the year that some of the ordering will happen. I suspect most of the ordering will push into next year, and that depends on whether we win something or more than something. That is the first part. Second, I would say on FGDs, there was again a question. We had shared a approximate number of what revenues we expect. And FGD revenue and margins are dilutive to Thermax overall. And they were dilutive this year as well. And we expect FGD margins next year to be better than what they were this year. But given the quantum that will come in, it will drag Thermax margins to that extent. Yeah, overall, I would say from a margin perspective, I expect at least as we come into Q1 and Q2, some of that stability that we have seen in recent quarters to continue on most fronts. If there are any big commodity price shocks, notwithstanding those, but there have been some movement in prices, those we are able to manage. Yeah? So I see stability in that sense. I don't see anything particularly that should move things down. On projects, I think we have, our profitability has been lower. I do expect this year to be at least a improvement in the trend direction on how we have been managing projects in this year. Yeah. The focus, I think, on the project side is on making sure that we get new orders and big orders, and that some of these we actually win with better margins than what we have done in the past.
So lastly, on the chemicals business,
please, if I may pass, because you've asked two questions already and you can come back into the queue. Okay. Yeah, please. Thank you. And I'm sure somebody will ask questions on chemicals. So
thank you. The next question is from the line of Arfaz Sayed from Incode. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi sir. Thanks for taking a question. So can you please throw some light on kind of opportunity and growth, especially in the water treatment and chemical business? And I believe that you are looking to double revenue from 800 crore base currently. And so where have we reached in that journey, sir? If you can throw some light on that.
Okay. I think, could you just repeat your question? I think I got 70% of it, but the beginning and portions of the end were blurred. So if you can just speak a little slower and louder, please.
So some looking for the opportunity and growth, we're looking in the water treatment and capital business.
Okay.
I've been looking to double the revenue from current level. So the growth plan there and whatever in that.
Okay. Okay. So thank you. Thank you for the question. I had said that the plant that we have is capable of handling double the revenue than where we are. That was my point. I had not said that that our water business is going to double this year. If this is the reference to when we had a new plant opening in water. But overall, water is an area where we have done reasonably well, and we continue to see opportunities for growth, and the momentum is driven by everything that we spoke about here. Projects where water is an important parameter, desalination plants, etc., effluent water treatment with all the questions around MVR, ZLD, tough to treat water applications. Everywhere we see demand for the kinds of products and areas that Thermax plays in continuing to go up. This last year we finished the majority acquisition of TSA as well, which will give us entry into ultra pure water for pharma sector, and also then for food and some of the semiconductor industries, etc. So water is an area where we continue to expect growth. We have had very good growth in the last 3 years, and we continue to drive this growth? I think you had briefly touched on chemicals. Our water business is part of our industrial products business. Our chemicals business is run separately as a separate vertical. The areas where we do things commonly, but we run them separately. But I'll use this to share a bit about our chemicals business as well. Chemicals have been talking about growing chemicals for some time, and we haven't really been delivering that growth. And even in Q4, where I expected to see growth, we had challenges where a lot of our inventory was, not a lot, but a decent amount, was tied in longer shipping. And because it sells to our legal entity in the US, and then our legal entity, when it sells, do we recognize revenue on a consolidated basis? We had a lot of inventory which was on the water, so to say, because shipping times have gone up, and so in some cases we could not recognize revenue of the order of 10 to 20 crores. And then there was a couple of levers on growth which took longer to establish. But starting Q1, I think you will start to see the growth coming into the chemicals business. And we are also going to show expansion into some new segments, which also you will start to see in the coming months for our chemicals business. So quite optimistic of growing our chemicals business and making it a bigger and bigger part of Thermax in the coming quarters and years. Thanks.
Yeah, thanks for the detailed answer, sir. And my second question is on CapEx. Let's say looking at the opportunity and the growth plans, so any kind of CapEx you're looking for the next 2 to 3 years?
See, we do not share CapEx numbers specifically and outlooks. And you can see that is also challenged because a good portion of our CapEx is also going in our green utilities business, where we are doing businesses on a build-own-operate basis. And especially right now, where especially again on the green energy side in areas like hydrogen and bio-CNG, etc., where there are so many open levers, giving a CapEx plan is not the best idea. But I think you will see that in chemicals, we are putting in a new plant and we will continue to add more and more capabilities and adjacent plants in those areas, and you will see CapEx going in on chemicals. You will also see some amount of CapEx going in on our industrial product side, where we have just put in a new water plant. Cooling had a plant that came in some time ago, but again, there also you will see some amount of investment in CapEx going on. The biggest portion of our CapEx will be on our green energy portion, though. Okay. Thanks.
Thank you. That's it from us.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Jonas Gutta from Birla Mutual Fund. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Thank you for the opportunity. Two questions, sir. Firstly, sir, at the analyst meet, you'd highlighted that, while there was levers for the industrial product business margins to go up, but at some point in time you will have to look at whether we can claw back some of those margins to fund future growth opportunities. Is that number of margin cast in stone, or that's a fluid number beyond which you'll probably strategically look at investments? And whether the Q4 exit margin of about 12% is a number closer to which you are beyond which you are okay to sort of invest incrementally. And the second question was, so from a cash flow perspective, both on an operational cash flow and hence an free cash flow also, this was one of the weakest years for Thermax in terms of EBITDA conversion to cash flow. While I appreciate that on an FCF level, the green energy investment sort of took away a lot of that, but at least for the next 3 years, as we build that portfolio out, is the OCF or FCF conversion factor that we see today as a function of EBITDA, should we use FY24 as the base for next 2-3 years?
Okay, two questions, and I'll take each one. The second question, I may not be able to answer to the entirety, and even the first question, I may not answer to your entirety. There's no specific number that we are chasing, and it would be wrong to chase a particular profitability number at which we would do investments. Yeah, so the 12% that we hit in Q4 was a function of stability in the market, and continuing to say that where products are concerned, we want to continue to work our way higher and higher. And some of our businesses with scale coming in, water is a good example. And as that business has grown and has developed scale, it has become more profitable as well. I think that whole business is already one which is generating a fair amount of cash and is hugely accretive to Thermax overall. What we need is continued product innovation and things that have worked well, continuing to improve and invest in those. So that will continue. Yeah, in water, we want to invest in technology. You have seen some of our cash has also gone towards M&A in setting up a new plant for water. We're expanding our facility for our boiler products. So some amount of money went into expansion of that. More money will go in this year in cooling all the new products that we are working on. We'll continue to invest and do what is necessary on these. I don't think there's a specific number that we are targeting. And profitability also is to be looked at in the lens of maintaining market share and all that. Yeah. So there's no particular number that we are targeting. In free cash flow, I think very, very clearly, yeah, Thermax's overall free cash flow has come down. To me, that's a good thing. It means we are starting to invest again. We're starting to see opportunities to invest again. And without doing those, we would not be able to build a story for the next round of growth, which we have to get ready for as a company. So I'm comfortable with that number. What that projection looks like and how do I look at 25 relative to 24 on the free cash flow and even beyond, I don't have a number, but I would say that number, whatever number we may give also, may not be right, because especially with M&A, especially with some of the growth opportunities that you have, even in green energy, whether you do a project or not, depends on the profitability expectation from that project. So then to come and tell you today whether we will invest in that or not is not the right, may not be the best answer. Yeah, but I think the question you have is a good question. I'll, Rajendran, would you have an answer that you would want to share? I'll maybe look into it and then come back in a future call on if this is something we want to give any direction on.
No, I think that is fair to add that, you know, a free cash flow addition from an operations perspective will stay robust except for possibly some cash on our PSU projects, that is the FGD and some bit on NRL kind of projects being a bit of a lag. And otherwise, I think on the deployment front, I think you already talked about the large capex and the investments in green energy and LNG being some of the priorities for us.
Sure, sir. Thank you. Thank you for the detail.
Thank you. The next question is...
Hello.
Oh yes, Mr. Atul, you can go with the question.
Hello. Yes. Am I audible?
Yeah, you are.
Yeah. So my question was on this green solution business on the BOT basis that you are doing. So I mean, could you share your like what is the kind of intended IRRs? Because I mean, our experience is that some of these projects could be like at very low margins and at very low PAT for quite a few years in the initial part. So that could kind of pull down your consolidated ROEs for quite some time.
Hmm. The two parts of our business currently today, and more may come into play. We have got our build-own operate for TOSU, which is biomass-based solutions, where Thermax is a market leader. And TOSIL actually is a business that we absolutely love. Yeah, we have done a lot of work to set up that business. We have an offering which is unique, and we have been investing quite a bit into setting up, going deeper into the to the back end of sourcing biomass and working in that direction. So TOSIL, the IRRs are 19 to 20%, and for the most part we have been there or thereabouts, maybe even slightly better, and you will see some of that as you piece through the TOSIL balance sheet and financials which we share. FEPL, what you're saying is right, and we are going through that pain on FEPL. Yeah, FEPL took significant losses last year, had quite a few losses this year as well, and even next year will be a loss-making unit, less than this year, but again next year also will be a loss-making unit. It is the year after that we expect break-even numbers and better numbers to start showing up. We like the business though. Yeah, we like what we are doing out there. We are putting together a portfolio completely from ground up, no M&A, nothing, top-notch customers. And in some cases, we actually see profitability improving because the market is now becoming a bit more sensible. And in general, there is a window where customer expectations are reasonable, commodity prices are reasonable. Comes down to execution and managing that execution cycle well, which to me is a strength for Thermax. And with many customers, there's a small but a distinct preference for Thermax, which is also something that we like. The IRRs currently are in the 15 to 16% range, but I do think they can improve from this level as well.
And so just kind of, you know, get some more color on this, on FPL. So, I mean, what transpired when you bid for them so that you have like losses this year and next year? So what went wrong and what are the learnings from the same and how are we course correcting? Could you kind of share?
So the losses are actually just losses because you have a platform that you're setting up. So there's a fixed cost of that platform that you're managing and operating. So you have losses that come about. There are also effects around interest rates going up. So you have to take the impact of that interest rates across the portfolio and what it does. So if there's a negative impact of that, you got to go take that. In cases where an asset comes up and you miss the wind season for one period and you are having the depreciation hit on that asset, you end up showing losses until you get that the reverse part of that wind cycle back again and all. And especially when the initial part of the project, where the project has not stabilized completely, but you're taking the depreciation on the asset, but the revenue is still not complete, you will get losses. So I think we understand these losses reasonably well. We are comfortable with the direction and why these losses are happening. There are some aspects on operations that we need to improve on clearly. And there's a very strict timeline internally that we are driving to improving those operational aspects. Most of those operational aspects relating to stabilizing a plant. And we just need to bring that window of stabilization shorter and shorter and work that. Yeah. So the asset management of the platform also is something that we are investing in. Fundamentally, is the asset at the levels that we worked on when we bid on the project and we worked on it? Other than our first set of really small projects, we don't see that as a risk.
Okay, thank you. Thanks a lot.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Aditya.
Sorry, one may I say one thing to the team?
Yes.
Yeah, see, one thing I'll say, which is part on why we wanted to get into renewables and this part of the business. Yeah, and I'd always said that where new energy is going, having, and so much of it will be driven by electricity, having some access to and understanding and being able to deliver those projects will be an asset. And a lot of what is needed to win out here is capability that Thermax has. I think there was a lot of debate even within Thermax on what is the right way, how do we enter. One ratification I would say, besides the fact that I believe that we are executing these projects well, is also if you see a lot of the hydrogen projects that are coming in now, and especially the PSU ones, they are all coming in on a build-own-operate basis, which means whoever is bidding on these projects is responsible for everything, including sourcing the electricity and delivering the electricity for those. And working some of these combinations becomes relatively easier if you know how the electricity gets delivered, what is available, what is not, what pricing is possible. So the optionality that you get becomes much, much higher. I'll leave this as a point. It may not be relevant for the next couple of quarters, but in the next couple of years, I do believe this point will become relevant. Thanks. Next question, please.
Okay. The next question is from the line of Aditya from Kotak Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you for the opportunity. I have a couple of questions. I'll start with the first one. So this is again, this is our assessment of the extent of savings that can come in from, let's say, heat efficiency. It seems to be a mammoth number if you take, let's say, a 10% lower kind of heat outflow for the industry over a 10-year period and ascribe some amount of that savings to Thermax as a driver. Just wanted to get a sense whether, like mathematics is one aspect to it, but how to really think about it. Can, let's say, a 10% reduction in the heat output for the entire industry happen? And if it were to happen, how much of it could be attributable to companies such as Thermax? Maybe a few sectors wherein this is relevant from a near-term perspective also help. Thank you. That's the first question.
So I don't know if 10% is a number, but it's definitely, I think, aspirationally, you're asking the right question. Which means, and which is what Thermax has been talking about, which is the story around energy transition, which means improving where we are to where we want to go. Yeah, and you're only talking about efficiency though. There is also an aspect of can this energy become based on fuels that are greener, which means biomass based and all the adjacencies of agrofuels and all that comes with biomass waste, so to say. Efficiency improvement is possible. Many of our digital products are good examples that can drive efficiency. I do think even solutions like heat pumps and all for certain applications can be driven through efficiency. In some ways, a supercritical power plant is also at the heart of it an efficiency push, which means can I use less energy to drive the same amount of heat? Using less heat, that becomes the job of the process itself, which is slightly tougher, which means how do I cut the amount of energy needed for steel or cement or many of these industries itself, which requires big process changes. And especially in industries like cement, it may require a very different technology basket as well. Yeah, mining, oil and gas, which is a second order question, which also there is a lot of work happening. But the first part, which means how do I create this heat more efficiently, that is certainly a part that Thermax and companies like Thermax have a big role to play and are putting a lot of work to become better and better. Yeah. And to me, the last couple of years, I mean, you take a look at our small boilers business, where nearly 70% of that business is driven by biomass, agrofuels, and waste to energy and the like. whereas waste to energy and these buckets are not even 20% of the overall energy bucket, so to say. So you can see that this what is less than 20% of the overall driving 70% of our orders shows that that transition is already something that is happening.
And just to clarify, is it 70% of incremental orders or 70% of kind of base orders?
Total new unit orders is in these areas. Yeah, for heating, like which is our small boilers business.
I guess yeah,
65 to 70%. Yeah. Thanks.
So just to kind of take it forward, as a
document. Yeah, if I can, you can come back because it is 10 minutes, so actually we have exceeded time. Just so that if there are more questions, if there are none, then you can come back, yeah?
Thank you. A reminder to all participants, you may press star and one to ask question. The next question is from the line of Nidhi Shah from ICIC Securities. Please go ahead.
Hi, thank you for taking my question. So we've largely addressed why the revenue for this year, the growth is slightly lesser compared to the last 2 years, which was nearly averaging around 30%. So going forward, do we see this picking up, and by how much?
I don't know by how much. Internally, we are working to pick for this to be and planning for this to pick up. I think the first cup, actually all through the year, there is enough to work with. In the second half, depending on how the whole utility space plays out, that could be a driver. We are also seeing in refining and petrochemical certain big movements that are showing up where in areas where Thermax can possibly play, which will help in the second half. For the first half, we have a pipeline based on what we carried forward as projects in that we were building and working on from last year. If they come through, then the start can be good as well. But on the revenue side, if we have to deliver good growth this year, then we do need to have a good start in Q1 and Q2. I think I can't go and commit to something because the availability is still work in progress. But even in the next 60 days, 50 to 60 days, which is within this quarter, I do expect a couple of decisions to happen.
All right. So would it be fair to say that that the traction that we found in quarter four is something that would continue for the rest of the year?
I don't think we saw traction in Q4, no. I think we saw traction in an improved pipeline, but in terms of delivering orders, large orders especially, I don't think we showed that in Q4, yeah? So I do hope we can show some of that in Q1 and Q2 as well.
All right. Thanks. All right. Thank you.
Last question, if I may.
Okay. Thank you. The next question is from the line of Maithili Balakrishna from Alchemy Capital Management. Please go ahead.
Hi. Thanks for taking my question. I had a question on the UMPP business. Is there any interest on the company to going into that direction, or do we want to stay focused on our green energy aspect that we have taken up?
I think I've answered this question already. We've always called Thermax as the partner for energy transition, which means we will work on green solutions, green footprint, cutting down the energy footprint. But we are very much part of the Indian fabric, which means if coal is a big part of India's energy story, things around coal gasification, improving efficiency of coal is always part of our product basket. So working on supercritical power projects in the utility side is something that we think we are capable of, and in fact from a manufacturing point of view, beautifully set up, possibly with some of the best manufacturing capability in India in this area, but we will be very conservative in terms of how we approach. We will not take the risk of an overall EPC and get into projects which can be hugely detracting at the macro level for Thermax. We will look to compartmentalize it. And certainly anything we do on this side will not be at all at the expense of slowing down investment, focus or growth of any of the other segments, especially the ones that are relating to green and like waste to energy, biomass and the side. Yeah, so that won't happen at all.
Thank you. That's all from my side.
Thank you. So do you want to take a question?
I think I am fine. We have, I guess, 3 more minutes. So if there's one last question, we can take that also.
Okay, sir. So the next question is from the line of Rohit Pramod from ICICI Securities. Please go ahead. Oh, yes, Mr. Rohit, you can go with the question. So there is no response from the participants. We will take the next. Next question is from the line of Aditya. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you for the opportunity again. The question that I had was more linked to kind of taking it forward from the heat efficiency argument. As in, somewhere you have quantified that in 2030 to the growth of Thermax will be driven by factors or drivers not visible today. And my question is very, very specific. A, what are these technologies that you're thinking 6 years out, not near term? And B, even at the end of 6 years, what will be the proportion of work that must be getting from these drivers that will not be dependent on any kind of subsidy?
Sorry, I thought there was a lot of background noise. I got one part of the question, which is the future. And if I take a Thermax 2030 or something, what portion of Thermax would be driven by things that are relatively new? And then what's the second question on what is the role of subsidy in these sectors?
What I'm essentially trying to get at sense is that through this journey, mm-hmm. as you scale up these businesses, these businesses eventually become self kind of funding for the customers that you serve, or will they still, I'm just trying to get a sense of how much should we be giving weightage to the statement that you make from a business continuity perspective. You made it the opportunities, and that's one part of what I want to understand where they are coming from, and B, will they be kind of yielding the desired kind of returns for your customers? Like, for instance, even bio-CNG today, I don't think makes great returns, even with subsidies inside. So just trying to get the sense of viability also for the customer.
See, I think if I take some of these sectors, from a viability perspective, I think is not a very easy question to answer because it depends on related factors in play. And those related factors, and the reason I'm using bio-CNG as an example is because some of these factors will be driven in many of the newer bits also. Yeah, so the entire biofuels piece, these would be the factors. The first is technology. Stabilization of this technology and the wide applicability of these technologies. This will apply to many, many. If you're talking about sustainable aviation fuels, you're talking about syngas to chemicals, green chemicals, you talk about 1G, 2G, 3G ethanol, you talk about bio-CNG, you talk about biomass to hydrogen, waste to hydrogen, all of these. This technology portion will come into play. Also, the question that will come into play is policy, because many of these will depend on, say, take biomass here. What price can you source biomass at? How structured and how uniform is the market from a market basis, like bid ask and from an ability to negotiate prices with farmers long term for certain things that we need to do. Yeah, there is also policy relating to import of biofuel ingredients. Yeah, where some of this is not entirely clear today, but an expectation that things will come into control. The last bit is not clear is how carbon pricing will come into place and how that will take off. So depending on what assumptions you make on all three of these factors,
the viability may be already there or the viability may get questioned. I am clearly of the belief that these are sectors that are must, because that is the future, and stability will come sooner or later and the market will get formalized. Yeah, because it has to. There is no other way without cleaning up fossil fuel significantly can you make certain parts of the value chain green. A similar argument can be made for hydrogen, which also has very, very similar questions. And you can see all the work that the government is doing at the back end to starting to formalize that. And technology will drive prices down, uniform applicability, lot of things will happen. They're not visible today, but they will come about for sure. Yeah, both of those are very, very good examples of the kinds of things that can happen. Then there are areas that are a lot more easy to understand, like in water, the future of water in terms of water recyclability, making sure that if today 75% of the water from commercial and consumer is not recycled, making sure that all of that comes back into useful supply, what technologies will come into play, there is better understanding of those. Understanding of advanced cooling technologies, industrial cooling, all of that, there is better understanding. But for fuel cells, grid storage, hydrogen, biofuels, biomass to X, so to say, sustainable aviation fuels, all of these areas. There, the three questions that I talked about, depending on what calls you make on those, it could be very viable and or it could be less viable. So not a clear answer to your question, because these are not spaces we can make clear judgments about. That will be my response. Okay. So thank you to everyone.
Thank you.
Thank you. As that was the last question for the day, I now hand the conference over to Ms. Bhumika for closing comments.
Yes. I would just like to thank everyone, and particularly the management, for giving us an opportunity and answering all the queries. Thank you very much, sir, and wish you all the very best.
Thank you. Thanks, everyone.
Thank you. On behalf of DAM Capital Advisors Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines. Thank you.